For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. From 6th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, wherein Krishna is explaining the nature of the mind. The mind is the greatest enemy if it is uncontrolled. The mind is the best of friends if it is under proper control. The mind is a subtle element of material nature created by Krishna. And Krishna is explaining so nicely how to utilize our own mind in such a way that we are elevated. If we do not very carefully follow these teachings of Krishna, our mind will be the cause of our degradation. The spirit soul is originally part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Being, and all spirit souls, the spirit soul is the real self, the source of life and consciousness within each and every one of us. We are all subordinate to Krishna eternally. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yobhidati kaman. The soul's constitutional nature is to accept direction from superior authority. We can never be the superior authority. It is simply not within our means. Constitutionally, we are always subordinate to God because we are part and parcel of God. To carry out the authoritative direction of a superior being is the very essence of the nature of the soul. When the soul, by its own independent free will, which it inherits from its source, Krishna, decides to misuse that free will, then it comes under the captivation of the illusory energy. That is the situation of all persons within this material world. We have decided by our own independent choice to separate our desires from the desires of God. We want to make our own plan. And thus, the Supreme Lord puts us under the authority of the dictation of the illusory energy. It is not by our own will that we have the desires within our heart. It is by the influence and the dictation of Maya, or material nature. It is by our will that we decide whether we want to be under the powers of Maya, or illusion, or under the powers of God. The mind is that medium between the soul and the particular destination we achieve within our life. When the mind decides, when the intelligence, I will say, decides to utilize the mind in such a way to accept the superior dictation of the Supreme Lord, which comes through Guru and Sadhu and Shastra, then it is elevated. That mind becomes our best, most intimate, well-wishing friend. However, when that same mind decides to accept the superior dictation of material energy in the form of egoistic desires for enjoyment, then the mind becomes the very cause of the degradation of the soul. Spiritual life simply means to control the mind, to put the mind under the superior dictation of God rather than the superior dictation of material illusion. But in all cases, we must be able to understand that we are subordinate. People think that they are the doer of their activities, but this is an illusion. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani saravasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. A foolish person thinks, I am the doer of my activities. Actually, according to our desire, according to the condition of the desires of our mind, either we are empowered by Krishna directly from the Supersoul, or we are empowered by the agents of illusion or Maya. Terrible, terrible persons who have lived within history. People like Hitler, who had ordered the slaughter of so many millions of people. He was thinking that he is the killer. Actually, due to his polluted mind, he was simply accepting the dictations of the cruelty of envy of the material nature. He was simply a victim of lust, a victim of anger, a victim of envy. And he was acting under the dictations of those anarthas. If we examine and evaluate our own life, we will find how many desires are actually our own and how many are being dictated by the power of lust, by the power of greed, by the power of false pride that's longing for recognition, by the power of anger and illusion, envy. Practically all of our desires and our actions in this world are being controlled and dictated by these forces. These forces are superior to ourselves, as long as we come under their subjugation. So how to somehow or other come out of the clutches of these unfriendly masters that we have invited so cordially to take control of our lives? Krishna explains in Gita that we must fix our mind on the superior energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind must be occupied. Simply trying to make the mind blank is very artificial, superficial, and unnatural. However, it is better to try to make your mind blank than to keep your mind filled with the script that has been written by the enemies of lust and anger and envy and pride, greed and illusion. But the superior method recommended by the Supreme Lord in the Gita is to keep the mind occupied by acting under the script written by the Supreme, ever well-wishing friend, Krishna. In one sense, we are all actors on a stage in this material world. This whole material existence is like a very, very large, long drama. This drama, when the curtain opened and when it will close, we do not know, since time immemorial. And there's two scripts. The scripts written by the illusory energy and the scripts written by God. And we have a choice whether we're going to act this drama as one of Krishna's actors or one of Maya's actors. Recently we had a yatra in Pune, and there were so many dramas that we can't get them out of our minds. We're naturally thinking of everything in terms of dramas, and somehow or other getting away from this drama of material life. So Maya has written the script, and she's playing with us as her actors, like puppets. And yet we think we are the doers. That is Maya's way of deceiving us. However, the nature of the mind is always to accept superior dictation. Krishna consciousness means to accept the superior dictation of God. And that is why the spiritual master and the holy scriptures are so very important. Krishna descends into this world time and again to tell us what is his will, what is the purpose of life, who are you, What is your nature in how to fulfill your ever-existing propensity for eternal, unlimited enjoyment? To control the mind by keeping it under the authority of God is the purpose of human life. And if we are not striving for that perfectional stage, then categorically, the quality of our life is not in any way superior to that of the lower species, who are also simply acting according to the immediate impulses and dictations of their mind and senses. Shreyas and Preyas. Shreyas is to be willing to tolerate even what we want, or to tolerate what we can't stand, for the purpose of achieving a higher goal for our future. And Preyas is to succumb to whatever immediate dictations appear to give us some pleasure. The mind's tendency in this world is Preyas. No consideration of truth or reality, but the consideration of what we want, what our senses want, what the mind wants, what Maya is filling our mind to think will do us good. How important it is to control the mind, it is all important. It is the basis of our lives and our destination. Krishna explains in the Gita how we should always try to keep our mind fixed on Krishna. How we should always try to keep our mind fixed on Krishna through carrying out Krishna's instructions as presented in the holy scriptures, by remembering his wonderful form, his beautiful pastimes, and by remembering him who has descended within the all-merciful form of his holy name. Through this process, we purify our consciousness. With a purified consciousness, we can see the form of God. We, being part and parcel of God, are of the same nature, but he is supreme, and we are eternally subordinate. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govind Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna's body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Our spiritual body is of the same quality. However, because of the mind's pollutions, we are now identifying ourselves with this physical body, thinking that this is me, and that by enjoying through this, I will find happiness. But this is a great mistake. It is an illusion. This body is real. It has been created by the material elements through the energy of God. However, we are temporarily residing in this body. We are not this body. We are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But due to the uncontrolled mind and the attachments of the mind, the soul is conceiving that it is this body. And that is the source of all suffering. When you realize you're an eternal soul full of bliss and knowledge, what suffering is there? Paradukaduki. Because of the soul's natural compassion, a soul suffers to see others in illusion. But that suffering is a type of ecstasy because it is based on love. However, the suffering of a soul who is on the bodily concept of life is so complex, and it goes on birth after birth after birth. And we're trying to make so many arrangements to alleviate that frustration of the mind. But there's no solution except to purify the heart. A man can conquer an entire empire. A man can conquer the entire world. Hiranyakashipu conquered the entire universe, yet they never found any happiness because they were not able to conquer their own minds. A wise person does not consider it a great achievement for any other victory except over one's own mind. A person may be the greatest scholar and have so much honor for writing books and being a great PhD. A person may be the greatest ruler and king who subjugates all other kings and lands under his command. A person may be the greatest, most respected and accomplished doctor. A person may be the most respected and accomplished musician or athlete, and the people of the world will praise you. Srimad Bhagavatam says that people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses will praise other people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. If a dog sees a bigger dog with sharper teeth, he will praise that dog. If a beast of burden, an ass, is carrying big loads on his back and he sees another ass that's foaming at the mouth and carrying a bigger burden, he praises him. The camel that's eating thorns and thinking that the blood is such a, he's thinking the juice of the thorns is so delicious, but actually it is the blood of his own mouth he's drinking. It's killing him. However, if one camel sees another camel able to eat and eat more thorns than any other camel alive, he praises such a camel. Those thorns are material enjoyment. We're enjoying it, but it's destroying our life. So in this way, a devotee of the Lord who understands the truth according to the Shastra, who is wise, understands that the greatest achievement and victory is someone who can control their mind. That person can cross over the ocean of material suffering. That person can solve all the endless complexities of this material existence and can achieve unlimited happiness. Therefore, the very basis of spirituality is to keep the mind fixed always on remembering God, because that remembrance will cleanse the mind completely. When the mind is completely cleansed, then we can see God directly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed that the mind is like a mirror. When the mirror is covered with dust, all the soul can perceive through the mind is dust. When the mind is clean, the soul can see itself through the mirror of the mind. Eternal, full of knowledge, full of happiness. And along with seeing itself, it sees its own identity in relationship with God, with Krishna, as the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada has so nicely explained how you cannot see God. You cannot perceive or understand God properly unless your mind is purified. People are very eager to try to see God. But with these senses, with this contaminated mind, it is simply not possible. God can only be understood when God himself reveals by his own free will himself to us. And he does that when he is pleased by our sincere efforts. If you want to see the sun in the darkness of the night, it is impossible. No matter what arrangements you make, even if you have the most brilliant mathematical mind, you will not be able to see the sun in the night. Even if you have the best possible 20/20 vision, even if you have the best telescope made by the German scientists, even if you have a nice little flashlight, or you have those big glaring lights that they use for air traffic control, if you make the biggest light in the whole world and shine it into the sky, you will not be able to see the sun. Only when the sun rises by its own accord can you see. Similarly, by no material arrangements can we be relieved of distress ultimately and see God. It is only when by Krishna's free will he reveals himself to us. When the sun rises, automatically there is no more darkness. There is no need for any separate effort. Darkness is ignorance. Ignorance is the cause of all the pains, sufferings, and complexities of life individually and collectively within this universe. The problem that is causing so much misery is ignorance. There are relative problems. Here at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, they are dealing with the relative problems of disease. And these, as long as we're living in this world, we have to deal with the relative problems. It is our duty. It is also part of our service to God to try to keep fit the machine that he has temporarily awarded to us. However successful we may be in solving the relative problems of disease, we cannot create real happiness. There are many doctors in this room, and you are all very proficient, effective, highly trained, successful. And you have cured people of serious diseases completely. Can any of you say that any of your patients are in ecstasy? Are blissful? Are tasting nectar of eternal joy? You solved a relative problem, but still the main problem of life of being subjected to so many frustrations and unhappiness and the fear of death is not solved. You can keep a person going a little longer with a little less pain, but everyone is still progressing toward death and old age. This is due to ignorance, that the eternal soul, which is full of light and life, the eternal soul, which is full of love of God, one drop of love of God, when we experience it from our own soul, it washes away all the frustrations of this world, because all else is insignificant compared to that. If you're not experiencing any real happiness in life, the slightest problem disturbs you so much. But if you're really happy, you really have fulfillment and nice friendship and nice family, when that little problem comes, it's insignificant. You all have that experience? When you're in a good mood, problems are not difficult to just, doesn't matter. But when you're in a terrible mood, the slightest thing, impossible. How will I survive this? If you're with dear friends and dear family members and everything's going well and there's so much love all around you, when something happens, it doesn't matter. Leave it. But when you're miserable and suffering and lonely, one little thing agitates us uncontrollably. We can't get it off our mind. Krishna explains in Gita that when one is transcendentally situated in one's natural spiritual position, the happiness derived of that is like an ocean. However many rivers are flowing into that ocean, it really doesn't make a difference, because the ocean is so full in itself. Sometimes the rivers are very wide during the rainy season. Sometimes hardly anything is coming from the rivers during the summer season. The ocean is conscious of the reality, but unaffected because of its own fullness. Due to ignorance, avidya, we have forgotten the fullness of our own spiritual nature within ourselves. The ocean of transcendental happiness that is within us has been forgotten. And we're looking for joy in the muddy little puddles of this world. And each of them is soon to be evaporated by the sun of the scorching heat of material existence. To keep the mind in truth, in Krishna, is the only means by which ignorance can be dispelled. Just as all darkness is dispelled upon the rising of the sun, similarly, all ignorance, which is the very source of all suffering and confusion, is dissipated when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive, all-beautiful, loving Krishna, reveals himself by his own free will within our hearts. That is the purpose of all religion. The Srimad Bhagavatam does not tell us to be a Hindu, or a Christian, or a Muslim, or a Jew, or a Jain, or a Zoroastrian, or Sikh. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that real religion is that which teaches us to love God. That which teaches us to cleanse our heart, purify our mind, so that the Supreme Lord reveals himself within that pure mind and awakens our love for him and our desire to serve him. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhave Krayam Indrayai. Only when our mind and senses become purified through service to the Lord can we perceive the Lord as he is. The Supreme Lord is not impersonal. The Supreme Lord is personal. Aham Bija Pratapita. Every religion claims that God is the original father of all. We are persons. How are we persons? Because our father is a person. We have desires. How is it that these desires have been created? Something does not come from nothing. Whatever attributes we have originate in the supreme source of everything. Janmadyashayataha. Everything is emanating from the supreme truth. The Vedas declare that supreme truth is Krishna. He has his impersonal energy. He has his localized manifestation as the Paramatma within the heart. But the source of all the various manifestations of spiritual existence is Krishna. He is the source of everything. However, because our bodies are such a cause of problem, and we cannot conceive of a body that is not like our own, through the process of frustration and negation, we want to conceive of God as impersonal, without form, without personality. But through cleansing our heart by devotional service, we can gradually understand that our own spiritual body and God's supreme spiritual body are very different than these material bodies. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna's body is eternal. It is full of knowledge and it is full of bliss. Therefore, the highest purpose of life is to somehow or other purify our mind by keeping it connected to Krishna, the beautiful form and personality of Krishna. In our natural relationship with Krishna as servant, Krishna consciousness is the original spiritual energy within everyone. The desire to serve God, the desire to love God, the desire to remember God should always be within our minds. And if we can, with our intelligence and with the help of others, with the help of Guru, the help of sadhus, the help of Vaishnavas, the help of temples, the help of scriptures, the help of sadhana, we can keep Krishna always within our hearts. The mind is within the heart. The intelligence of our own human will, we make that commitment in our life to follow that process and associate with those people that will help us to make our mind our best friend, and to somehow or other keep that association and that lifestyle where we are subduing the enemies within our mind. That is real intelligence. real intelligence is not the ability to explain material phenomena like no one else is able to do. Real intelligence is to discriminate between truth and illusion. Real intelligence is to make our mind our best friend by keeping it in pursuance of truth and not allowing our mind to be our worst enemy by allowing it to be subjugated by our lower tendencies. The lowest of all tendencies is the desire to enjoy separate from our relationship with Krishna as his servant. That is the source of all other miseries within material existence. We want to enjoy separate from our natural position of the servant of God. This Krishna consciousness movement established by Krishna, propagated in its most simple and applicable form in this age by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and spread throughout the world with such compassion by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is teaching us how to be living in harmony with truth, how to purify our mind and make it our best friend, how to make our mind the throne, the sitting place of the all-beautiful, all-merciful, all-loving Lord, rather than the sitting place. Now, who has taken God's throne in our heart? Lust, envy, pride, greed, anger, and illusion. They are now sitting on the throne of our heart. We must replace them by putting the real king of our life, Krishna, and serving him with love. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It is not a sectarian movement. It is the scientific process of practically applying spiritual principles in our life. To revive the essential nature of our existence, which is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead with unmotivated, uninterrupted love. By chanting the holy names of the Lord in the association of the Lord's devotees, by utilizing our natural propensities wherever they are in a spirit of devotion. This is not only possible, but it is practical. In fact, it is guaranteed to be successful. You have a tongue. Taste Krishna Prasad and chant the holy names. You have ears. Hear the philosophy of life. Hear the glorious purifying sound vibrations of Krishna's glories. You have eyes. You have a body. You have talents, propensities. Use them for Krishna. Bhaktivedanta Hospital is a very unique, significant contribution to the spiritual education of the planet Earth. It is a place where qualified professionals are coming together to utilize their talents in the spirit of devotion and in pursuance of truth. Our doctors may be able to get more money working in another place, may be able to get more fame and recognition in another place. But what is money, fame, and recognition? They are all various manifestations of ignorance. they will not bring real happiness. They will bring a sense of excitement to the ego, but not even give a drop of pleasure to the heart or the soul. These special souls have come together to utilize their God attachment. Real bhakti entails detachment from the propensities of the egoistic mind and senses. Knowledge. Knowledge of what is truth and devotion, which means to pursue on a practical level the application of truth in our life. Devotional service. But whatever we do, we want to do it as a service to God, as the highest service to humanity. The highest service to humanity is by using our skills to not only do what the immediate need may be, but to see beyond. The best doctor is not one that simply cures the relative temporary disease of the body. He does that, but at the same time, because he really cares about the person, he wants to remove that disease of ignorance from his heart somehow or other and let the brilliant light of the eternal soul shine and bring happiness to that person forever, beyond birth and death. That is the purpose of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. To show people of all various persuasions and occupational, that whatever you are, whatever you do, use it in a spirit of devotion to God. Find the real inner happiness of the soul. Worship the Lord in the throne of your heart through all of your activities. And teach the world to do the same by our example. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
It is observed if we have a peaceful life or a joyful life, we are bound to be lazy in the spiritual activities. A problem comes, then you tend to become a little serious. But the degree of problem it increases, then because you don't have a steady mind, you get a fear, and then you create a lot of problems for yourself. Because you don't have mental strength to fight those problems. Another observation, all these great saints, those are advanced souls, right from Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, all personalities if we take, they have faced so many problems in front of or comparing to their problems or problems are nothing. But we don't have mental strength. So how to gain this mental strength?
By associating with the strong, we become what we associate with. If you are wanting to be an athlete, the first thing you need is a trainer. And then you have to be willing to do the training. And then gradually you become strong. In India, people are really mad after cricket. In America, nobody knows what is cricket. If you tell them cricket, they think if you're talking a little insect that goes makes sounds all night. This particular sport does not exist in that part of the world. They have other sports which are much more violent and exciting to the people. Anyways, if you want to be a good cricket player, first of all, you have to go to a coach. Yes? And the coach teaches you the proper training. And you have to be willing to do the training. There's so many authorized processes of how you hit the ball and how you throw the ball and how you run around, and then you have to have strong arms and strong legs, and you have to have a good intelligence. You need to have the proper teacher, and then you have to actually be willing to undergo the severe austerity of undergoing that training. Then you get strong, you get strength. One of my old friends, who I grew up with many years ago, we were very close. In fact, I went to India and he went to Israel, both seeking spiritual enlightenment. And it's a long story, but we didn't see each other for about 18 years. And then we met, and I was the sannyasi preaching Bhagavad Gita, and he was teaching weightlifting. Bodybuilding and physical fitness to all the most famous movie stars and movie actresses in Hollywood, Beverly Hills, and Malibu Beach, California. Hare Krishna. When we last met, actually we somehow we met in the Himalayas, and that was the last time we met. We were both about 110 pounds. 20 years later, I'm still 110 pounds. But he's about 210 pounds. And it's all muscles. He's like, just every time he moves, it looks like mountains are coming out of his body. So he trains people. And he tells them, you have to work hard. If you want to look like me, you have to work very hard for years. You have to sweat and strain, and you have to regulate your diet. And then you become strong. Of course, every time I see him, he's always telling me about how some girl that he fell in love with has left him, and he's in complete distress. Miserable. I said, what's the use of all your big, big muscles if you're always being conquered by ladies? I don't have any muscles. Somehow I haven't been conquered by any ladies. So if you want to be strong, you have to have a teacher. Physical strength, you need a teacher like him. Spiritual strength, we need a teacher like Srila Prabhupada. He's our coach. He's teaching us the proper procedures. But then we have to follow them. We have to do it diligently and regularly. Chant at least 16 rounds every day. As attentive as possible. It is a spiritual exercise that gives our mind spiritual strength and purifies it. Read every day as an extra spiritual training and try to keep the motivation of all your activities as a service to the Lord. and associate with people who can help us in this way, who can encourage us in this way. By that training, by that proper teacher, and by that encouragement of the association of others with a like mind, we gradually gain mental strength, spiritual strength, and we can overcome any temptation or illusion of Maya. Does that answer your question? Arjuna asks Krishna, the mind is more difficult to control than the wind. How is it possible? And Krishna said, by constant practice and detachment, under superior guidance. This friend of mine, just when I came to India, just a few weeks ago, I received a letter from him. Hare Krishna. Such a nice person. I have such affection for him. But he's so successful and very wealthy. And he has the best possible physical health you can imagine. I'm always coughing. But yet he was saying that, how is it that you're never suffering the way I am? Always being conquered by the objects of the senses. Always being conquered by our own egoistic desires. I told him, if only you put this much energy into training for spiritual strength rather than physical strength, you would be Mahatma. Yes, Krishna Prem Prabhu.
If a person is not interested in cricket, he cannot force him to play cricket. So, how do we develop a liking for playing cricket? Similarly, how do we develop a liking for spiritual life?
The liking for playing cricket is an artificial, temporary imposition on the soul. The liking for spiritual life is the inherent nature of the soul. Just by contact with Krishna, gradually that inherent desire awakens. If a person is, due to past pious activities or good sukritis of previous lives and this life, many people, just by hearing about Krishna, immediately they're attracted. By hearing about devotion to God, they're immediately attracted. Just by meeting someone who is exemplary, they're very attracted. Others are not. So to them, we want to somehow or other give them that exposure to Krishna, knowing that it will definitely, without a doubt, begin to awaken their inner natural propensity. If you give someone prasad, that will awaken that inner propensity. Throughout the world, some of the most spiritually lost and morally degraded people had their lives changed into such a miraculous transformation just through the process of regularly eating prasad. Srila Prabhupada encouraged restaurants of Krishna prasad to be started all over the world. And he said, even if a person has no inclination toward Krishna consciousness, no inclination toward any religion, if they just come and take this prasad and appreciate it, they will become Krishna conscious. And I have seen with my own eyes people completely antagonistic against devotion to God, against religion, surrendering to Krishna after eating prasad for some months. Because it is the inner nature of a soul. By having them hear the holy name, by having them come in contact with pure spiritual literature, by just meeting a devotee and appreciating the kindness of a devotee, it awakens the inherent spiritual nature within them. Somehow or other, we want to expose the world to the beauty and the mercy of Krishna through his wonderful manifestations. And that will change people's hearts. It may be a gradual change, or it may be a very rapid change, but the change will certainly take place. Are there any other questions? Ladies, any questions you may have? Hare Krishna. Yes, Vishwarupa Prabhu.
As you said, detachment is required to control the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But majority of the people in the world, they have experienced the material pleasures of watching television and so many sensual enjoyments. But the spiritual pleasures, they are not experienced. How do we suddenly go about getting detached from those pleasures which we have already experienced and go for that pleasure which we don't know?
The safe method of detachment is to replace our bad habits with good habits. To simply give up bad habits is very difficult and even dangerous. However, to replace them with good habits is very safe and very effective. So you say someone may have bad habit of watching very unbecoming, unsuitable programs on the television. So that is a bad habit. So get into a good habit of using that time to read Bhagavad Gita, to come to the satsang, to see the videos of Krishna on the television. Somehow substitute. Now we have bad habit of eating foods in the mode of ignorance. Substitute it with eating nice prasad. We have the bad habit of working for an ass simply out of greed. So substitute it by working in the service of the Lord. So every one of our bad habits can be overcome very effectively with the help of God if under superior training and direction and good association we learn good habits in life and replace them. Then it's not just painful, it's actually joyful.
The problem is, the pleasures which we are experiencing now from the material world, we have faith in them. There are pleasures which we have definitely experienced.
Hmm. But if you hear the scriptures attentively, you will lose all faith in them. Because you will understand their very nature and how they're the very cause of your suffering. That's called education. We should not remain uneducated. An uneducated person has faith in many things that are actually causes of disease. One of the best methods of solving the problem of disease is education. People like to eat things. People like to use water in such a way that I've talked to people here in India in social development programs. People drink the same water that sewage is going into. And they've developed a taste for sewage water. So if you educate people, then it may taste good, but it's killing you. Here, take some nice distillery water. Or let me teach you how, let me make a well in your village. Drink this water. So that's education. You're telling them the dangers of what they're doing, and you're giving them a healthy substitute. That is what Krishna consciousness is. People are enjoying drinking the sewage water of material enjoyment. And they're getting so many diseases, so much suffering as a reaction. And we're saying, here, let us show you this nice well where there's fresh, spring, healthy water. Engage in these devotional activities. Education is required. Rajavidyarajaguyam. Krishna says this Bhagavad Gita is the king of education, because it is teaching how to experience the everlasting joy of the soul. And the means of doing it is through our actions in our daily life, but with a proper direction and a proper consciousness. Yes, sir. Because you have been memorizing the lines for millions of births. It's become very natural to you. Begin to hear the words of God. Who has written the two? Ultimately, Krishna has three energies. His superior spiritual energy, which is eternal, which is the energy that promotes love, devotion, and happiness. And there is the external, inferior material energy, which promotes illusion, which promotes forgetfulness of our own richness, of our God-given inheritance, and which dictates to us the path of trying to enjoy completely apart from any knowledge of who we are. And every time we act to enjoy in such ignorance, we implicate ourselves in deeper and deeper material bondage. And we are the marginal energy. Marginal energy means we have the free will to choose to be under the superior dictation of either Krishna's spiritual energy, which is bringing light and love, or to be under the control of the material energy, which brings darkness and misery ultimately. We all must make our choice in life. Yes, sir?
Why does not want to
it should become part of the curriculum in schools and colleges. And hopefully, if we present it in an authoritative and scientific way, gradually it will be accepted. Unfortunately, in this great land of India, at one time, the basis of all education was the Vedas, and the transcendental knowledge of the truth. And practically all of the teachers in this great land were Brahmins. Not just Brahmins by birth, but Brahmins by quality, who knew the Vedas and taught the Vedas. And all other arts and sciences, such as agriculture, banking, business, and other professions, were being taught in the light of the knowledge of the Vedas. But as this age of Kali progresses, the tendency for cheating and hypocrisy becomes more prominent. And when the Brahmins or the teachers are no longer living examples of what they're teaching, or they're manufacturing their own formulas or philosophies to suit their own selfish purposes, then people lose their faith. And when the people lose their faith in those who are supposed to be upholding the holy scriptures and the word of God, then the tendency is they create their own forms of education. What to speak of all the subjugation that this great land of India has undergone. When the British Empire came, they very systematically and scientifically spent centuries trying to destroy faith in people's lives toward the Vedic culture or the holy scriptures. And this is in the records of the diaries of some of the most prominent leaders that Britain sent here. Even the scholars who were translating the Vedas, their only purpose of translating the Vedas was to present it in such a way that people would lose faith in them. And in the colleges and universities of India, the only books you were allowed to study were the ones written by them. They were the standards. So this is the situation that has created where now in the educational systems there's very little concern for the quality of a person's ethics or morality or spirituality. There's simply a concern that the students become very academically astute. Do you find that? But what benefit will a person do for himself or the world if he is a great academically trained professional without a proper quality of life, with a proper vision of what is the fulfillment and aim of human existence, without ethics or morality or moral fiber in their hearts? There's no real benefit. So it is our great hope, it was Srila Prabhupada's great desire, that through this Krishna consciousness movement, actual Brahmins, not by birth, but by quality, persons who are genuinely presenting the original truths of the Vedas as they have been preserved through parampara, in a scientific way, and who are living examples of those truths in their lifestyle, if they teach, educated men will listen. You are a scientist. You are a doctor. Famous and proficient. And perhaps you have heard many spiritual instructions, and you have heard various ideologies. But somehow or other, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, you came in contact with a true Brahman, Devamrita Prabhu. And he presented the truth as it is. Not creating, not manufacturing, no ulterior motive, just presenting the truth as it is, in its own natural scientific form. And with your own scrutinizing, intelligent discrimination, you see that he's living by it. And how much it has affected and benefited your life. So we are hoping that gradually, by proper teachers of the proper message of the scientific process of spiritual consciousness, which fits in the idea of secularism in the sense that real secularism shouldn't be known spiritual knowledge. It should mean that we don't necessarily promote that you have to be this religion or that, but you teach people what is the soul, what is truth, what is God, what is karma, what is this world, what is the perfection of life. And hopefully educators and other intelligent professional people will be influenced by this message and be willing to take that step, which is a risk before one's peers, to actually live by truth and propagate truth. So what you are saying is very, very important. And why it's happening, it's because the world is so much deluded by illusion and lost faith in spirituality because of inappropriate leaders. Srila Prabhupada's great aim was we can change that by presenting the truth without hypocrisy. Does that answer your question, sir? Thank you. Hare Krishna. If you present Krishna as he is, any sincere person from any religion will appreciate that Krishna is God. But if a person is very committed to a particular religious idea or a particular name of God, we should encourage them to follow that, but to follow it properly. And we can try to help enlighten them on the basic principles of all spiritual paths. Compassion, morality, nonviolence, devotion, and service to the Lord. Remembrance of the Lord, chanting the holy names of the Lord. These principles are universal in all great religions. We can teach that. Once a fundamentalist, evangelistic, quite well-known preacher of Christianity, Swami chanting Hare Krishna on the lawn of a major university in America. And he started screaming at me in such anger that Krishna is a false god. You are worshipping Satan. And there was a big, big crowd he was drawing because he was a famous man. Soon there was about 200-300 people gathered around. Previous to him coming, there was only 3 or 4 people listening to the chanting. But when he started screaming out, "You are worshipping Satan. You are worshipping a false god. You are going to hell. You are damned." People like to hear these types of things. Especially college students. They love controversy. So soon there was hundreds of people gathered around, and they really wanted to see, this is, it's like a sporting event. It's the Christians versus the Hare Krishna. So I listened to him patiently, and after he finished, I let him go on, because the more he was speaking, the more people were coming. And then I simply said to him, "Do you know who Krishna is?" He said, "He is a false god. He is the devil." I said, "Let me just tell you what the word Krishna means, and then you could decide for yourself who Krishna is. Krishna means, in Sanskrit, it is a word. It is a name of the Lord. And let me tell you the definition. Krishna means one who is all attractive. To be all attractive means you have to have possession of all wealth. Do you accept that your God of Christianity possesses all wealth?" He said, "Yes, the Christian God possesses all wealth." I said, "Do you believe that your God possesses all knowledge?" He said, "Yes, the God of Christianity possesses all knowledge." "All fame?" "Yes." "All renunciation?" "Yes." "All beauty?" "Yes." "Strength?" "Yes." These are the 6 opulences: strength, knowledge, beauty, wealth, fame, and renunciation. One who possesses all these opulences in full is God. And that God is all attractive to everyone and anyone. Now, do you believe that your God has those attributes? He said, "Yes." "That is what the name Krishna means." "Is your God Krishna?" There was about 500 people in complete pin drop silence waiting for his reply. His reply was, "Yes, Hare Krishna." And then I taught everyone how to chant, and we had a kirtan of 500 people. Went on for about 2 hours. Everyone was dancing on the lawn of Ohio University. It's very... So if we explain Krishna according to the real definition of Krishna, people will appreciate of all religions. If we are not sectarian, people will understand the universal principle of what we're speaking. If we're fundamentalist in an egoistic or sectarian way, then people will be very much turned away. Krishna consciousness is a great science, and we must learn to present it as a scientist. with humility and devotion and compassion. At this time we'll have kirtan. I thank you all so much for your kind attention. Thank you. Hare Krishna.